From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
San Francisco.
Montclair and Oakland.
Tiburon.
Sausalito.
Japantown, San Francisco.
Berkeley, California.
Coming up, we'll take a close look at a San Francisco intersection on the cusp of change, 3rd and Gerald in the Bayview. First stop, church.
They're thinking that's a black church, but there's no race requirement.
Then we'll step inside the nonprofit across the street that's putting high school students on a track to college.
I think the biggest misconception about the neighborhood is, embodied with these kids, that folks don't want better.
And we wind up at a pizza joint that turned an unused lot into a lunch spot.
You know, you don't have a kale salad in the Bayview, but we do.
We're exploring the intersection of past and future on this hour-long edition of Cross Currents. Stay with us. We're kicking off our spring membership drive. It's our public radio party this time at KALW. You're invited to become a supporter of KALW by calling right now at 800-525-9917 or going online at kalw.org. And today we've invited to the party Dr. Joe Marshall. He's with me here in studio. Hi, Joe.
How are you, dear?
Hello. Hello. Thank you for being with us. Mr. Marshall is founder of the Alive and Free Omega Boys Club, and his life work is to keep young people away from violence. He's a San Francisco police commissioner charged with improving community police relations. He's the recipient of a MacArthur Genius Grant, along with many other awards for his service as a community leader. And he's focused much of his work on San Francisco's Southeast sector, which includes the Bayview neighborhood, where we will be spending our show today. So, Joe, thank you for being with us. And if you can tell us a little bit about Alive and Free Omega Boys Club.
Well, Alive and Free Omega Boys Club is a program I founded 27 years ago in 1987. It helps young people stay alive, unharmed by violence, and free from incarceration. Alive and Free is a prescription to end violence and change lives. And if you stick with the program, we'll help you go to college and pay for your college education.
Well, you are joining me today to tell the stories of the Bayview neighborhood, so let's get to it. San Francisco is getting a lot of attention these days for the many transformations happening around the city. Rising rents, newcomers to the city, new businesses. And these changes were especially noticeable to KALW's David Boyer. He recently returned to San Francisco after being away for about 15 years, so he went on a search for something that reminded him of the city he left. Here's the story.
When I left San Francisco back in 98, the first tech boom was just taking hold. The area here, right outside AT&T Park at the corner of 3rd and King, it was pretty much deserted, except for a few dance clubs. When I came back a few years later, everything was different. Instead of old warehouses and abandoned lots, this was a whole new neighborhood called South Beach. Today, the transformation that began with the ballpark is accelerating south along 3rd Street, right along the T-train line. First stop, Mission Bay. There are two brand new luxury developments, plans for a high-end hotel. Oh, and the Golden State Warriors, they just bought a big plot of land here to build their new arena. Let's keep going south. There's a new UCSF hospital rising at 16th and 3rd. Between here and 24th, more than 1,000 apartments with street-level bars, restaurants, and retail are somewhere between breaking ground and people moving in. And then there's nothing. Just like South Beach back in the day. Industrial warehouses, auto body shops, truck routes, few people, no homes. Finally, we reached the Bayview District, 3rd and Gerald, an intersection with one foot in the past and one in the future. On one side, there's a combination KFC Taco Bell and an old Baptist church. On the other, there's the new All Good Pizza and a nonprofit co-founded by Steve Jobs' widow, Lorene Powell Jobs. This is what I've been searching for, a place just barely ahead of the tide of development. I want to talk with people working and living in the middle of this transition. We'll start with the church. We're just in time for Sunday service. This is where I meet longtime parishioner Diana Morton.
Morning, everyone. I am Diana. We are here at St. John Missionary Baptist Church.
Lord, we're going on our 66th year, and
Each and every Sunday, we came here to praise your name month after month and year after year, Lord. We want to say thank you, Lord.
I've been going here since 50, probably 58. We didn't have a car, so we used to walk here every Sunday. Like all kids, I hated Sunday mornings because I had to get up early to be at Sunday school for 9 o'clock. We went to Sunday school, 11 o'clock service, 3 o'clock service, 6 o'clock service, and 7 o'clock service. So it was an all-day thing. You know, we had, of course, we had breaks in the middle for food. And there used to be a restaurant. We called it the Juke Joint because it had a jukebox. Now you're moving on up. The kids of the church used to tip off there in between Sunday school and church. And we used to play music and dance. And the older people in the church would notice most of their teenagers was gone. They found us. And they'd march us back. But take away your good looks and all your fancy clothes. Back then, the Kentucky Fried Chicken across the street, that wasn't there. That was just a lot. There was a vacant lot, and then there was this little building. That's where we used to have junior church. In my teens, I loved being here. It was exciting. Everybody was really, really dressed up. And somebody would start a song over here or a song would break out over there, and it was just like, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Father. That's how the congregation would respond with what this person just led with. And after he finishes his part, somebody else may start out with a song. And then somebody would shout. And fall all over the place, and we'd kind of be waiting to see who was going to shout next. It was just exciting. Bayview, it's changed a lot. Didn't have so many liquor stores on 3rd back then. And what I remember in the 60s, they wanted to put another liquor store, and our pastor said we need to march on City Hall because it's not a good thing for our people. It's going to bring the neighborhood down. More alcohol, more alcoholics, more people hanging out, more crime. That was the fear. And I do believe that they were right. Now, we don't have night service at all anymore. Because of so much violence in the neighborhood, people are afraid to come out at night. Thank the Lord, so far this month we're okay, but coming in this year, we had a lot of funerals. Seemed like one every week. We've had some funerals here for kids that's been killed out there. I believe the role of the church is to try to reach those people that you'll never see until there's another funeral. You'll never see them, you know?
Lord, we ask that you have mercy this morning. And then, Heavenly Father, we ask that you touch those that are on the street corners this morning, those behind prison walls, for we all have family members and friends that are still in darkness. We ask that you have mercy this morning.
The congregation has gotten much, much smaller. Honestly, because things are better for Black people. Back in our day, when my parents' day, times were hard. You know, certain areas you could not move into because you weren't allowed. So people were thankful for every single thing that they got because they knew it was by the grace of God, because everything else seemed to be against them. Now people think that they can get things better on their own. Their need for God seems to be, has diminished because things are either so good or they're so bad that they're hopeless and they don't think that there's no hope to be found in church. And then there are more churches. There's a church on every corner. Whereas there was maybe two churches splitting the neighborhood, you've got 50 churches now. So every one of them has a few people.
I could have 50 members, but if I'm doing my best, I got a mega church. God ain't gonna help me here. Because how many members at my church don't denote how close I am to God? God blesses me on my ability to handle what he gave me.
Yes, yes.
The neighborhood is changing, and this is not a black area anymore. There are more of everybody living in Bayview now. There's Orientals, there's Hispanics. Back in the day, this was a black church.
Is it good to you? Is it good?
It's an all-black church pretty much still, because they're not coming to this church because they're thinking that's a black church. But there's no race requirement. We're mostly black, but that don't mean you can't come. Christ loves you, and so do we.
That was guest Reverend Rainer Hillis and choir soloist Jackie Griffin. We also heard from Diana Morton at St. John's Baptist Church at 3rd and Gerald.
You'll come back next Sunday? Bring a friend.
Thank you.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. We just heard the first installment of David Boyer's series, The Intersection, about the corner of 3rd and Gerald in Bayview. Bayview community leader Joe Marshall is with me here in studio. So what'd you think of that story? Joe, you know that church, right?
I've never been to that church.
You've never been to that church?
I've never been to that church. I do know where it is. But overall, it's a great story. It was a great perspective, hearing from somebody who was there for, God, did she say back in the 60s she started going to that church?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, you have that kind of longevity and that kind of longitudinal perspective. It's great to hear. I thought she captured it very well.
And she was talking about their, you know, they can't hold services at night anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the violence at night.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. You know, things changed over the years, and one of the things that got worse, and I think I got an idea why, was the violence in the Bayview. Actually, it's gone down the last few years. It's gone down probably maybe the last, well, I wouldn't say 5 or 6 years, it's gone down dramatically. We're hoping that it doesn't go back up, but it certainly resonated with her saying that you couldn't go out at night. Yeah.
Mm, and she says now that there's a church on every corner.
That's also true. Churches, there's a not-so-funny joke that there's a church and a liquor store on every corner in the black neighborhood, in the black community, and the Bayview is no exception.
Mm. I'd like to take a moment to let our listeners know that we're inviting you to show your support for this kind of creative reporting by becoming a member of KALW right now. We're in our spring membership drive. We're calling it our public radio party this time. Dr. Joe, you're with me in this party, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hope I get some food before I go.
I think you can. I think you can. Join us here at KALW by making a contribution. The number is 800-525-9917. Our phone volunteers are waiting for you right now. Show your support for this kind of journalism, for telling these stories that you may not hear elsewhere, taking you places you may not ordinarily visit. Like this church in Bayview, I felt like I was there. I was in there with them, with Miss Diana Morton telling me about the history in her church. If you appreciate this kind of programming, give us a call and become a member now. 800-525-9917 is the number. Or if you're listening to us online, or if you have a computer right there next to you, go on over to kalw.org and click donate now to contribute what you can and join our KALW family.
Public radio is vital to, the news, especially local public radio. You get to hear the voices of what's going on in your neighborhood and your community. And so, I mean, I would urge anyone, you know, who likes what they hear here, likes this kind of program, to please, you know, contribute, pledge. It's a great thing. Absolutely.
What stories, Dr. Joe, what stories do you want to hear about the Bayview that we can bring to you on Cross Currents?
I always love hearing stories about the strengths, the good things that go on in the Bayview, in any community. And that's actually how I got my start years ago, because somebody did a good story about what I was doing. And it allowed the Alive and Free Omega Boys Club to begin its, you know, I would call it, you know, its journey working with young people. So hearing those kind of stories, hearing about strengths, you know, the cultural things that go on there, I think they're great. I love hearing those stories.
All right. And you can contribute to KALW bringing you those stories right now. Give us a call at 800-525-9917. So let's go back to the show. Let's meet back up with KALW's David Boyer. Last time we heard from him, he was leaving St. John's Baptist Church at 3rd and Gerald in Bayview.
Since 1970, the demographics of Bayview Hunters Point have changed a lot. There are only half as many African Americans now, but there are four times as many Latinos and seven times as many Asian Americans. There's also a small but noticeable increase of white residents. Now, while those numbers don't necessarily bode well for an historically black church like St. John's, they're just fine for other businesses in the area. Across 3rd Street, the KFC Taco Bell is having no problem attracting a diverse crowd. It's by far the most active corner of the intersection. There's a steady stream of cars waiting for the drive-thru, and inside, the line is 15 deep. It's the height of the daily happier hour, when grillers and medium drinks are just a dollar. The cashiers can't seem to serve them up quickly enough.
You wanted how many pizza, crispy, how many grilled?
Chicken is always popular. I mean, that's the number one thing. But now, we just got this double XL nacho Bel Grande came out, and a lot of people was getting that as well. My name is Nikisha McDowell. I've been working for KFC about a year now. Never thought I would work at KFC.
So you said it was 324.
I'm the lead cashier right now. I'm doing training. I also am a case manager employment special for city and county, and then I do here for my little part-time. I was born and raised in San Francisco. Till I was like 10, I lived over here in Bayview, Hunters Point. I used to stay on Gerald, right up the street. Right now, I'm inside, like, over by the project area, by more low-income housing or Section 8 housing. A lot of people come to this KFC. The construction workers, people that work at these little businesses, the people that work at the barbershop, families. That lady, she just starts sitting here. She's just hanging out. See, we get that a lot. Most of the people that hang out, they're either panhandling, trying to get change, or some of them just sitting here until nighttime. But we don't care about people just sitting there. Probably better if they sit there than sit on the street.
I'm about to be like Madea in a minute. What's taking that so long? Yeah, I apologize. It's so backed up back here. I told her I owe her an apology.
Probably half of the staff lives in the neighborhood. So I think that's why they hired them, because for our customers that come in, they are sometimes difficult to deal with. Like some of them don't have enough money. Some of them get discouraged about the price. Some of them get upset because we're not rushing for them. Some of them we know from way back when.
Hey, charge them for a bag.
You got it. You got it.
I wouldn't dare.
Hey.
I wouldn't dare. I'm telling you though.
It was fun growing up around this neighborhood because most of everybody that grew up around this neighborhood went to the same school. My mom knew their mom. Aunties knew their aunties. Our cousins moved over here. It was fun. It was kind of scary a little bit because of so much drug transactions going on and people gangbanging. There used to be a lot of people hanging out on KFC, and a lot of people died on that next block over. And I lost my child's father on that block. He got murdered on, it's called Kirkwood, and he got murdered. He was in some gang brutality thing, and he was chased down from Palou all the way to Kirkwood, and that's where he laid. And he was dead at arrival. And the projects is still the same. It's still gang banging, shooting going on, but I just think it decreased because of the people that were really doing it and provoking other people to do it is either locked up or dead. Right now, with everybody all gone or in jail, it's been really quiet on this area. I think it's much, much better. They're starting to decorate it more, put a lot of more color in it, a lot of more palm trees. The palm trees wasn't there. The tea tray wasn't here. All Good Pizza, they just built that right there. It used to be just nothing right there. So, yeah, it's got better. I see a lot of tourists over here, too. That's new. The minority part is new as well, too, because I'm seeing a lot of different variety of people than just seeing blacks. But KFC stayed the same. It hasn't changed. Our chicken right now is in 5 years, I think it's going to be more condos and less black people in this area, because we have a couple of condos right there and they're not low income. So, and I think All Good Pizza is going to get teared down and they're going to put apartment complexes right there, just like they did on Palou. Knowing that this is a low income area, I think we're always going to have low income. But if they keep bringing these condos in here, I'm going to have to move somehow.
Next in line, please.
That was Nikisha McDowell along with the staff and customers of KFC at 3rd and Gerald.
You're listening to a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba, and I'm joined today by Dr. Joe Marshall, longtime advocate for the Bayview neighborhood. Joe's joining me as we invite our listeners to join our spring membership campaign, our public radio party, by becoming a member of KALW right now. Call us at 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. Or go to KALW. Click donate now, and our phone volunteers are waiting for your calls. Today, we're spending some time at the intersection of 3rd and Gerald, and we just dropped into the KFC there. So, what'd you think of that story, Doctor?
Well, I know that KFC well. I'm always bumping into people, and it seems like I'm bumping to them. And I'll go in and say, Dr. Marshall, what are you doing here? I need to eat too. So. No, that place has been everybody's there. Everybody's there. Yeah. Mm.
And Nikisha McDowell was saying, you know, it's a place where she saw a lot of crime happen, and she said drug transactions and the gang banging, and she lost her child's father.
What she said is exactly why I started my work with young people in my own organization outside of the work I was doing in the schools.
And so what role does Omega Boys Club play in the lives of these young men?
Well, we're called Alive and Free Omega Boys Club because that's what we're trying to do, keep them alive and free. It's pretty simple. Our job is to help them beat the streets, to negotiate all the negativity that's out there. Anything that imperils their life and freedom is what we deal with. And my gift to them, if they, you know, are willing to let me help them do that, is to you pick the college and I'll find the money to pay for it. And I can remember the day we started, February 26, 1987, in a community center in Petrillo Hill, a Petrillo Hill neighborhood house. And when I told them that, they said, What? No way. You're not going to pay for my college education. And, you know, that was a pretty bold thing to say because I didn't have any money. But I knew I wanted to save these young people. And, you know, we have some sayings. If you do good things will come to you. And if you're willing to do right, people are willing to help you. And a lot of those early young people, and still today, came from the Bayview. I'm proud to say today that now we have 190 college graduates, many of whom came from right out of that right out of the Bayview.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we are in the middle of our spring membership drive, and you can give us a call right now if you support this kind of programming and these stories that you're hearing today on the show. Give us a call at 800-525-9917 and make your contribution. Join KALW and become a member, or you can go to KALW.org and click on donate. With me here is Dr. Joe Marshall. He's telling me about the Alive and Free Omega Boys Club, saving young men in the Bayview, saving their lives.
My job is to keep young people alive and free and stop the violence.
800-525-9917 is the number right now to give us a call and support Cross Currents, support KALW, bringing you stories from Bayview. Now let's hear the next installment of The Intersection with our guide, David Boyer.
Most weekdays around 4 o'clock, a group of teens take their KFC to go and head to the other side of Gerald Avenue. They're students at College Track, an after-school program that helps kids in under-resourced communities prepare for and complete college. The nonprofit, which was co-founded by Steve Jobs' widow, Lorene Powell Jobs, has sites in 5 other cities. In 2012, College Track moved its Bayview location from the outskirts of the neighborhood right to 3rd and Gerald into a refurbished brick building that had been boarded up for half a decade. The building's nice, but what's more impressive is the determination of 275 local high school students who voluntarily spend several evenings a week being tutored, nurtured, cajoled even, by a dedicated staff and an army of volunteers.
Everybody please link up, circle time.
Can you guys circle up? Let's go.
They start and end every session with a unity circle that's filled with announcements and appreciations. This evening, it's led by site director Omar Butler.
All right, so when everyone is quiet, we can get started. All right, so welcome. I'm glad everyone is here. I hope you all had a great weekend.
My name is Omar Butler, and I'm site director of College Track San Francisco. I grew up not too far away from here, up in the housing projects up in Hunters Point. I caught the bus that went past this building every day. I was the first in my family to graduate from college, and so my story resembles a lot of the stories that of the kids that we serve.
This is probably the halfway point in the semester. It's important to keep plugging through for the remainder 2 months of the semester. So, Sean, you can lead us off.
A lot of you just finished up your first grading period, so please bring those report cards in. That's the only way we can know how to support you guys. So once we know what you need extra support around and what we can do for you, then we can help sit down and make a plan or just get the tutors to make sure they're looking out for you. So please bring those in.
Folks will say, you need that in San Francisco? Isn't that the home of, you know, the financial district and the tech boom? They don't know that in the shadows of those things lies this community, you know, that wants to be involved in all that growth and development, but to this point has been ignored. I think the biggest misconception about the neighborhood is, I mean, embodied with these kids, that folks don't want better, that folks don't want to participate, that folks don't want to live in safe neighborhoods and safe communities, that folks don't want good schools. I think that there isn't an achievement gap, there's an opportunity gap. And so I think one of the things that College Track says is you give these kids the opportunities, they will make the best out of them.
My name is Elisa Harrison. I go to Gateway High School. I'm a junior. I heard about College Track when I was in 7th or 8th grade. I think it was 8th grade. Omar came to where I went to middle school at, and he talked about it. I grew up here in Bayview Hunters Point. The neighborhood, I don't really know how to explain it. It's like you get a lot of different vibes from, I feel like, from every corner you hit. If you go down that way to 3rd and Paloo, you see a lot of drunks. You see a lot of people that's on drugs. You get used to seeing that. So it doesn't bother me. And if you go further down to Quesada over there, you see a lot of young kids hanging out on the corner. And, like, you go to school with these kids, you grow up with them, and, like, they just grow up to be another person that's down on third, drunk, or on drugs. And, like, it just, I don't want that. If I was just going to school, college really wouldn't even be something I thought of on a daily basis. But I went on a lot of college tours through College Track. I got to visit Howard University. That's my top choice right now. When I went there, I just felt like I should be here.
All right, let's end. Good. Let's try a little faster. One, two, three.
Any youth development organization should take into account all the needs of the young people, not just the scholastic needs, but the cultural needs, the artistic needs. We've had art, you know, we've had poetry and drumming, we've had yoga. I think that our ultimate goal is to have our students be well-rounded. And so the connection a drumming class has to a college access program is that, one, it exposes our kids to the arts. I think this is something that kids from Bayview miss out on, that opportunity. I think it builds culture for us, that this just isn't an environment where you need to sit down and put your face in a book.
But I can still remember that pain of those tendrils eating up the flesh of my chest, the heat almost pushing into my body, skin melting and mixing with dribbles of marshmallow.
It also gives our students an outlet for their creative juices to flow. All right, so a couple of appreciations before a final announcement. Go back and circle. Gabby.
I'd like to appreciate Carlos for helping me with an application.
Anybody else?
Shout out to everybody in the tutoring room today. Everybody was working really hard. And I also want to just appreciate everyone who had a plan today, because that's the name of the game this week. So anybody...
The Omega Boys Club actually helped me. An organization founded under the same principles to get students from this community out of the hood and into college. And so 25 years later, I'm helping kids go to college. I would have never thought that or guessed that. I have people who I grew up with who have sons in the program. And so it's an awesome feeling. I think that I still don't understand it in totality.
Anybody else?
Hold on, wait. I'm hearing way too much side conversations. Most of the people I grew up with can't afford to live in Bayview or San Francisco. You know, we lose kids throughout the year, kids who have to move to the East Bay, you know, out to the Central Valley, because it is cheaper and it's more affordable. I live in Redwood City. I wish I could afford to move back to Bayview. It's a neighborhood I grew up in. I think it would mean a lot, even more, to the kids. You know, I think that so oftentimes they hear about, you know, do well and get out, you know, and there's more people they can see that are still here that value and see this community for its assets, they would begin to appreciate that as well.
I've always said that if I do decide to leave, that I want to come back and contribute to my community, because having programs like this is helpful, because I know a lot of kids grow up seeing the same stuff like I do, and we would either be on the street or like in jail if we weren't here. So,
anybody else? That's it. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Those were the voices of Alisa Harrison and Omar Butler from College Track.
You're listening to Cross Currents on KALW Public Radio. I'm Hannah Baba. With me in studio today is Joe Marshall, who actually founded the Omega Boys Club that Omar Butler just cited as his inspiration in his work at College Track. How does that make you feel, Joe? I looked over at you and there was something going on.
Well, people are going to think I planned that it was a setup. I did not. You know, what can I say? I'm so proud of Omar. I don't know what to, you know, I mean, I remember when he first came to Live and Free Omega Boys Club, he was 17 years old. You know, I heard his story. He was like a lot of young people struggling. You know, he's in McAteer High School. He's trying to, make it through, try to avoid the bullets, trying to, deal with the violence, had a bigger dream for himself, and to be able to make that dream come true for him. I remember the day he left for college to go to Tuskegee University. I remember, talking to him down there, sending him checks, making sure the whole process worked. I say this about Omar. Omar was very, very diligent. He took care of his business. He got his financial aid in time every year. He then transferred and finished up at Long Beach State. And we have a motto at the club, which is the more you know, the more you owe. My grandmother told me that when I was 6 years old, as you grow in progress in life, so you must help others to do likewise. And I am so proud. Obviously, to see this gentleman now doing the same thing that, somebody did for him. And obviously, it even blows him away.
Well, here at KALW, we also like putting young people on a path to success. This year, we launched our first ever audio academy to train aspiring radio producers to be able to tell great stories on radio. In fact, you've been listening to the work of one of those students today all along. David Boyer, the reporter today, is a trainee in our audio academy. What do you think?
That's great. No, I mean, I think the more you know, the more you owe applies right here also at KLW.
So the more you know, the more you owe.
Yeah,
perfect time to tell our audience about the spring membership campaign launched today. This is your chance to contribute to KALW Public Radio. Be a part of our public radio family. We bring you these stories every week here on Cross Currents 4 times a week. And we love what we do. We love bringing you these stories. But we would also love to see and hear that support that you give us as well. And that can be whether it's the emails you send us, whether it's the phone calls you leave us. We love all of that. We would also love it if you can actually become a member of KALW today. And you can do that right now by calling 800-525-9917. 800-525-9917. And if you do that right now, you can get a copy of the Cross Currents Bay Area Beats mix if you contribute at any level. And this is a mixtape. They're not called tapes these days, but we still like to use the word mixtape.
Still use the word mixtape.
We like to use the word mixtape.
Yep.
Right? It's a mix CD of Bay Area Beats segments, which we broadcast here on Cross Currents. We go in depth and look at the lives and music of local Bay Area bands. We have Macleet Hadero on this CD, Quinn DeVoe, Locura. We have Diana Gameros. We have Bobby Hutcherson. We have American Nomad and Sarah Cahill. All of that you can get on one CD if you give us a call right now at 800-525-9917 or go to klw.org and donate at any level you can. And here at Cross Currents, we want and love to tell all kinds of these stories, you know, the positive, you know, the up, the down, right? The good, the bad, they're all relevant stories, the personal stories. Mm-hmm. And then these art stories are all part of our broadcast. There's culture in your neighborhood.
Right.
There's music in your neighborhood. There are success stories in your neighborhood, and we want to tell them. If you support that, give us a call right now at 800-525-9917. And, you know, let us know also how we're doing, what neighborhood you would like us to be in to bring those kind of stories to our air.
The more voices you can put on the air, I think it's wonderful.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you for being with me. We are going back to the show to our last stop with David Boyer.
Around the same time that the College Track site opened its doors in 2012, Third and Gerald got another new resident, All Good Pizza. This is not your typical pizza joint. It's mostly outdoors and surrounded by a chain-link fence decorated with colorful nutrition-themed art and Bayview-centric murals. Inside the gates, it's a cross between a beer garden and a food truck park. Like most days, there are small clusters of folks, mostly workers from nearby businesses, lunching al fresco. They're sitting at reclaimed wooden tables amidst succulents and knickknacks. In the center of the lot is a permanently parked trailer emblazoned with All Good's motto, "We're a little bit Iowa, a little bit Louisiana, and a whole lot of Bayview." Inside the trailer, they make pizzas, paninis, and salads with all organic ingredients. And that's where I find the owners, Kristen Trahan, who's lived in the neighborhood for 14 years, and her husband, Matt.
Good afternoon, All Good Pizza. My name's Kristen Trahan, and together with my husband, Matt, we own All Good Pizza.
We are on the corner of 3rd and Gerald. When people ask, you know, where do you live or where's your business, and I say Bayview Hunters Point, they go, ooh, you know. There's such a stigma attached to the neighborhood that it's unsafe or scary or, you know, that it's not. It's loud. There's sirens going all over the place. There's people yelling and hollering and, yeah, it is rough, you know, but I don't ever worry about anything, and I've been living here for 4 years.
You've been for pickup?
JP. JP, no key.
Would you care for anything to drink?
No, thank you.
Okay. It's 8:16, please.
Okay. It's no mystery that we're a white couple in a predominantly black neighborhood. And it's not a thought in either our heads until something happens where we realize that there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot of people that their parents and grandparents, you know, grew up here, and the Navy shipyards was active, and we're still newbies.
Babe, did you order produce?
Not yet.
We should probably order a couple of cases of the organic Las Amado dino kale. Get
two cases
of that. Get 4 cases of organic arugula. Fennel.
12-count fennel, 12-count radicchio.
Yes. That should be good.
We got plenty of basil. We knew that we wanted to do something out of a truck or trailer or whatever, not a big fancy restaurant that we would have to dump $2-3 million into to get going. And we came across this trailer on Craigslist, purchased it before we even had a place to park it. We just knew that we were going for it. And we have a friend, Antoine, who's actually lives on Gerald, and he's in real estate. And he said, hey, what about this lot on across from KFC? Got a hold of the owners. We said, hey, just are you into giving us a lease? And they did. And when we first got the lot, it had been vacant for about 12 years, 10 to 12 years. And there was graffiti everywhere. There were people living in there. It was boarded up, chained up. It was an eyesore. I mean, we literally hauled off 16,000 pounds of garbage off of the lot just to get it cleaned and ready to even occupy it. I mean, between grass and weeds and trash, I mean, it was everything from needles to garbage bags full of stuffed animals.
Hi, I'll be right with you guys.
So when we first opened up, when we opened the doors, I mean, we literally had the trailer and 6 or 8 tables off of Craigslist. I think they were probably free. A couple planters lining the fence, and we opened up the doors, and honestly, the first day was, it was insane. A lot of people were looking forward to it because they'd saw us cleaning this lot for, you know, 6 weeks or so, and everybody's wondering what's going on. And the best part about it was people coming in like, what's kale, you know? And I'm like, well, it's, you know, this is kale, and this is the way it's supposed to taste, and this is what it does to your body, and these are the vitamins that you get out of it.
Okay, 2 kale salads and a margarita pizza?
Yeah, everybody was skeptical, of course. You know, you don't have a kale salad in the Bay View, but we do, and it makes you feel different than KFC. We actually ate there quite a bit as we were starting up because it's the only thing around here. You know, there's nothing here. It's a desert. I mean, we don't have a grocery store. There's no produce, which is crazy because we have the main hub of all produce that comes into San Francisco is on Gerald Street in walking distance, but they take them from the Bayview and just ship them out. People that live here in the community that really want good produce go elsewhere. The closest Whole Foods is Petrel Hill. I mean, that's 3 or 4 bus rides away if you're not in a car. or a 35, 40 minute T-train ride and then a bus ride, it's horrible. It's sad is what it is. It's really sad.
My name is Sean Moore.
I grew up in Bayview Hunters Point, around the corner.
And I do soap art at All Good Pizza.
He actually creates sculptures out of soap.
I like that.
Wow, that's nice clean work there. I like that.
Yeah.
Sorry. But these, seriously, if you could make a bunch of those as fridge magnets, people would buy those.
How do I know I'm an artist? My hands tell me I'm an artist.
Sean's here working on his craft every day from about 10 to 3 p.m.
So I'm like, you know, the on-site artist.
He doesn't really have a place to store stuff, so we keep it stored away for him in the shipping container and stuff, keep it dry.
I stay at Mama Brown's. It's a shelter.
He's become good friends, and he's just a good guy. He helps out around, you know, the place, and he's happy to have a place to do his art.
Like this past weekend, they was closed for like, what, 4 to 5 days. And I was like, damn, I can't do my art, so.
What kind of soap do you use?
Jergens.
Jergens?
Yeah.
Not the best?
No, it's the cheapest. But, like, all this is San Quentin soap. See, this is the soap we used to get. When you're incarcerated, generally you try to do something to pass the time or do something artistic that you can sell to make you some money. So I would make chess pieces and sell them.
Do you ever do customized ones?
No, it all depends on the person. If I size them up and I feel they're going to be real picky and technical and everything, I won't even get into that. Basically, I do this for me. I don't do this for nobody else. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to do the Cuban.
Can I get the turkey pesto panini?
And that's for here?
Yeah.
And a name for that order?
My name is Aaron Avery. I'm sitting at All Good Pizza, having a panini that costs $7.50, which is cheaper than across the street at the local liquor store. I'm in the tech world, and a bunch of us tech entrepreneurs moved out here and got a house together so we could create an incubation lab and have a backyard that we could go hang out and have a log cabin and a fire pit in. I lived in the neighborhood for about 2 years. I started in Soma and then went to Mission Bay, and then as that started building up, I was kind of trying to get out of the high-rises and into the backyards. Bayview is a great community. It's very diverse. It has a lot of different cultures that are on top of each other, but they all seem to get along very well. It's inspiring because when you get caught up in the tech culture, you lose sight of what really is important. And here, you know, the other day, if you go to the Rose House down the street, there's 3 days a week they have tables out there, and they're giving food to underprivileged and families that can't afford food. And then you can walk two blocks down the road here and you can be at All Good Pizza. And there's just a really good sense of community.
Having condos on the corner of 3rd and Gerald is probably not very far off. It's just, I don't want it to change too much. I don't want there to be a bunch of people, rich people, coming in here, buying up the houses, redoing them, and turning it into Malibu, or make it look like something that's completely different. I would love the neighborhood to stay exactly the way it is and just progress with all the same people here, with all the same businesses. I just don't want it to lose its character.
That was Kristen and Matt Trahan of All Good Pizza, and neighborhood residents Sean Moore and Aaron Avery. While much of San Francisco becomes unaffordable, Bayview is a place where prices are steep, but not totally insane. But it's changing fast. Many in the area were surprised when a two-unit Victorian next to College Track sold for exactly $1 million, and nearby, places are listing for even more. Many of the folks who live and work around 3rd and Gerald welcome the change. They think the neighborhood has been neglected and underserved for years. Sure, there's a bit of nervousness about getting priced out, but there's also an excitement about Bayview becoming a better place to live. As we've seen in the rest of the city, tomorrow could be different. This neighborhood could be developed beyond recognition. 15 years ago, when I left San Francisco, the corner of 3rd and King was just warehouses and a few dance clubs. Now, it's one of the most expensive spots in the city. 15 years from now, it's hard to say what the intersection of 3rd and Gerald will look like. But one thing is certain, it will be different. In Bayview, I'm David Boyer for Cross Currents.
And thank you, David Boyer. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba here with Dr. Joe Marshall. So, Joe, what do you think of what you just heard in terms of the new people, the new businesses moving in?
Well, I think it's symbolic of exactly what's happening. New businesses, all good pizza, new folks coming in, the techies coming, wanting to... to be there. I mean, look, the change is happening. It's going to change. To me, the real challenge is, and if I was titling what's happening to Bayview, my title would be redevelopment done right, or let me be more specific, gentrification done right. It's the last stronghold for the black community. There is obviously a great fear that that's going to be gone, that as folks move in and prices go up and, you know, projects are torn down and new homes are built, that they will not be able to get back into those homes.
Do you have that fear?
The resident. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it happened in the Fillmore. It happened. This is not something that happened. It happens all over the country. I think the challenge is to do this, to do this right, to create a better community. To create a net. And I told somebody this. I was talking to somebody last night, and I said, what would you like to see? I'd like the residents of Bayview to feel like they do when these extreme home makeover shows or Oprah Winfrey comes and you're moved out for a little while and you come back and your home is brand new and you got a brand new home and you feel like they made my neighborhood better, made my home better. That's my vision for what the Bayview should feel like. I don't want the population. Particularly, I don't want the neighborhood to lose its character. You heard somebody say that. I don't want it to look up. I mean, the black population in San Francisco, it was 14% when I got here to go to college at USF. It's like 3.9% now, you know, and most of them live in Bayview. I make this statement a lot, and it's not funny. Sometimes I say, Dr. Marshall, you can be the last black man living in San Francisco. I don't want that. To be. And there is, you know, there are a lot of folks feel that, you know, that is happening. So, you know, the big concern is to keep the character of the neighborhood, keep the people that are solid citizens that want to be there, allow them to participate in this new Bayview. There are programs, you know, that are doing that. There's a program I know about where they're trying to help a number of families become credit worthy and credit ready so they can participate in the housing construction when these new units open up. So, gentrification done right is what Dr. Marshall would like to see.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Marshall. And we'd like to remind our listeners that if you appreciate what you heard today on Cross Currents, give us a call and contribute to our spring membership drive, our public radio party happening, launched today. 800-525-9917 is the number to call to make your contribution. Or go online to kalw.org and make your contribution there. This time, as we said, it's a public radio party. And in fact, Dr. Marshall, we just held a party recently celebrating the people of Bayview, the people who are making positive change in the neighborhood at an event called Sights and Sound of Bayview. And it was a live event. We filled the Bayview Opera House with people from the neighborhood whose stories we told on Cross Currents, and we presented their stories to them live. And you can go to KALW.org to find those stories and to become a member while you go there. 800-525-9917 is the number to call. Give us a call, make a contribution, become a member of KALW, join our party. If you make a contribution, as we said, you will get the Bay Area Beats Volume 1 mixtape on CD. 800-525-9917 is the number to call. I'd like to thank you, Dr. Joe Marshall, for being with us today. Appreciate your your presence and all of your work. Thank you, and thank you to our listeners who are listening to us. 800-525-9917 is the number, and you can hear Dr. Joe Marshall on KMEL on Sunday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. Thank you, Dr. Marshall, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.